Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to begin what will amount to a two-part message, I'm pretty sure, on this subject, restoring your marriage. Restoring your marriage. In our day, we're seeing more and more marriages messed up by infidelity, by irresponsibility, by incompatibility, by instability, by irritability, you name it. There are problems in marriages. Husbands and wives spend more time fussing and looking for a way out of the mess than they do trying to reconcile. They know that they vowed on their wedding day to stay together till death do us part. They know that. When you read in Matthew chapter 19, this subject of divorce comes up. You know, Jesus Christ makes it plain that marriage is supposed to be between a husband and wife and is supposed to last for their lifetime. The Lord said, wherefore, in Matthew 19:6, they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And they know that the Bible, we know it, is against divorce. Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. The Lord hates it. But the problem is not that they know that they vowed to stay together, and the problem is not that they know that the Lord hates putting away. The problem is they don't have a clue what to do to keep their marriage together and what to do to thrive in a happy marriage. I mean, where they are, it just doesn't seem worth the effort. I say they. It may be it happening in your marriage, or it may be happening in the marriage of somebody that's very close to you, or somebody that you know, or a good friend, or even a child, or your parents. When they get into the shape like that, you're thinking they shouldn't get a divorce, and they know that, but they don't know what to do about it. So today and tomorrow we'll offer some advice from the words of God that will help you. I mean, if you're truly determined to salvage what's left of your marriage and turn things around for the better and build back into a good marriage, then we've got to give you something. It's not enough to say to you, you know you're not supposed to do that. You already know that. You need somebody to advise you from the words of God to help you. So if you're going to follow this little outline that we'll give you today and tomorrow, these instructions, you will give yourself as good an opportunity as you can get to keep your vows, and not only that, but to be glad that you did. So what do we do? Well, I'm not sure that these are listed in the order of importance to you, but they are a list, and if you'll put them all together, you'll find those things in this list that will help you if you're having difficulty in your marriage, or perhaps they'll help somebody else that you know that's having a difficulty. One of the first things to do is to be honest. Be honest about your contribution to what has gone wrong. Be honest about what you've done wrong. You see, when a marriage starts falling apart, it's real easy for you to pick out what's wrong with your spouse. But it's not very easy for you to pick out what's gone wrong in your life. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't change your spouse, but you can change yourself. And the only way you're going to do that is to get an honest evaluation on where you are. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil, paybacks, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Well, that's hard to do. Sometimes when you're, putting yourself in your own corner and preparing yourself for a fight. But if you'll be honest with yourself, honest enough that you can be honest in the sight of all men, you can get down to some areas in your marriage that you can change that are going to make it better. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, the Bible says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Well, I'll tell you, there's no neighbor that's more a member of you than your spouse. And so you have to speak the truth, and you have to put away lying. So when the marriage is in trouble, own your part of the lust. Own your part of the selfishness. Own your part of the cruelty. Own your part of the dishonesty. Own your part of the broken trust. When a man is unfaithful and his wife knows that, it is very hard for her to begin to trust him again. It takes years to build trust and a minute to destroy it. I say to wives, the thing to do, and I heard this from a good friend of mine, is remember what you read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. What you read there is that the women who were in subjection to their own husbands trusted in God. And you can trust God to work when you're trying to reconcile differences in your marriage. And that will help you to build trust with each other. But you have to own your part of what happened to break that trust. Own your part of the spiritual weakness. You know, when people are in a marriage and they're spiritually weak, the marriage is weak. And it's not all your spouse. A lot of this problem is yours. The wife is spiritually weak in her submission. He is spiritually weak in his leadership and love. You need to own your part of unjust criticism, that fault-finding. Isn't it a remarkable thing how two people can get off track in a conversation in just a matter of seconds because one hears something that he doesn't like coming out of his wife's mouth, and so immediately he finds fault and picks fault with her, or likewise it happens the other way? Own your part of the broken fellowship, with each other and the broken fellowship with the Lord. Own your part of the neglect. Have you done all you can do? Has your spouse done all he or she can do? Well, probably not, but own your part. Own your part of the retaliation. You know, when we read Romans chapter 12, and where we read here that we need to do those things that are honest in the sight of all men, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Notice what he said in the first part of that verse, recompense to no man evil for evil. I'll tell you what starts out as a pebble fight turns out to be a rock fight, turns out to be a boulder fight. It just builds into this terrible fight. And it all comes because something happens and you retaliate. Well, of course, when you do that, your spouse wants to retaliate. And when he or she does that, then you want to retaliate more. You know, it's brilliant, isn't it? Kill yourself in your marriage trying to get back at your spouse. Now that I'm saying it and you're driving down the road or listening on your phone or on your computer, you're like, man, we've done that. We've done that. He said something and I just couldn't let it rest. She said something and I had to fight back. And, you're destroying your marriage. You have to own your part of the bitterness. You have to own your part, of living in the past. How is it that every time a little something goes wrong, one spouse or the other or both has to go back to something that happened in the past and dig it up like a dead stinking animal? what happened to you before will happen to you again if you keep imagining that it will. In other words, if you keep saying, well, remember when, remember when, remember when, remember when is going to be, oh my goodness, look now. Own your part of the nagging. Own your part of the withholding affection. You know, that's an amazing thing, but when the marriage starts to dry up, affection is an important part of relationships, you know. But one spouse or the other says, well, you know, no more huggy time with you. And how, you know, I realize it's very difficult, and we're going to talk about some other things, but that's not a very good way to help draw the marriage closer together, and you know that. But the trouble is, it's painful emotionally, and so you're thinking, well, I'm not going down that road. And you see, people find themselves in these broken relationships, and they're like, we're stuck here, and we have no idea how to get back. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Again, you cannot change your spouse, but you can change yourself. And it starts by being honest about your contribution to what has gone wrong. And if I didn't mention it in the long list of things that I mentioned, then own your part of whatever people do to torment each other in a bad relationship. Own your part. You have to be honest about that. You have to be honest with God. You got to be honest with yourself. And you have to be honest with your spouse. And say, listen, honey, now, we've had problems here, and I don't want to have these problems out in the future, and I need to let you know I've been wrong in this area. Now, that leads to the second point. It's not only important to identify your contribution to what's gone wrong, but sincerely apologize for what you've done wrong. Sincerely apologize for what you've done wrong. You don't apologize just so that your mate will let you off the hook. You apologize so that you may acknowledge before your spouse exactly what you did wrong, specifically, and so that you may sincerely employ your best effort to prevent it from happening again. Oh, that's so important. That is so important. You see, what you're doing is you're acknowledging what you've already been honest with yourself about with the intention that you get forgiveness from your spouse and the understanding that you are employing your best effort to not bring that up again, to not let that happen again. Your apology allows you to reconcile with your spouse by giving him or her the opportunity to forgive you for that thing you've done wrong. And it's not a blanket thing, like, I'm sorry that I shoot off my mouth, but you remember when I said this about you yesterday, I apologize for saying that very thing right there, and I'm not going to say that again. Now, if you're on the receiving end of some of that apology, which you will be, because in every marriage there's always two people and both of them have problems, when it comes your time, listen, learn to sincerely forgive and learn to love. These are not things that come to you naturally. In Titus chapter 2, the Bible says that aged men have to be grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Aged women have to teach the younger women what? To love their husbands. If you've got to be taught in this matter, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Then you, it's not something you come by naturally. It's something you have to be told to do and taught to do. And a big part of that is learning to forgive and learning to love after you've forgiven. Somebody said, well, you need to forgive and forget. Let me tell you, it's hard to forget, okay? I know that and you know that. But it's not as hard as you think it is to forgive. And it's not as hard as you think it is to love, in spite of the fact that you can't forget. You don't have to dwell on the memories, you know. So, when you are trying to restore your marriage, be honest about your contribution to what has gone wrong. Sincerely apologize for what you've done wrong. And then here, establish some ground rules of communication. establish some ground rules of communication. In other words, it's usually with what you say that you stir up more trouble. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, I know we're in the context of the resurrection, but look at the verse. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That verse is true. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You've seen it, and so have I. Never, ever bring up prior relationships. Never, ever bring up prior infidelity. I mean, if you're trying to restore your marriage and you're dealing with that situation, then you have to get it out on the table. We'll get it out all at one time and then be done with it forever. I have a friend of mine that helped a couple through the discovery of infidelity in their relationship. And it was one evening, and he kind of moderated and mediated as they talked with each other. He said, look, ask all the questions you want to ask, get it out all on the table, and after this is done and all the questions are answered and all the, you know, the apologies are given, this is it. This is over. It's done. You know, after midnight tonight, this subject never comes up again. And I'm going to tell you what, when you do that, you can fix some problems. Stop all jealous behavior. When you're talking about ground rules of communication, stop all jealous behavior. Don't give your spouse the first reason in the world to be jealous about you. Because if you're a woman hugging over all over guys, or if you're a man hugging all over the girls, stop talking really animatedly with a pretty girl or with a handsome man and then talking all gruffly with your spouse. Quit doing that. Because if you continue this kind of behavior, you're not going to fare very well in trying to restore trust in your marriage. It's an amazing thing how people speak to each other so rudely in their, and then they're so sweet with, you know, their friends or some other people like that. It gives you the wrong idea. If you're the hurt spouse, you're looking over there thinking, man, this guy's trying to make some time with that girl, or this woman is trying to make some time with that guy. Don't do that. And listen, stop all phone calls, all emails, all text messages, all forms of communication that contribute to some sort of fantasy in your mind. That's right. If you are having difficulty in the relationship and you have emails going on or text messages or social media going on with somebody that you're interested in, cut it out. Cut it out. Just cut it out. I'm serious. I knew a couple, they were having, you know, just a strain. It was the beginning of trouble in their marriage, just a strain. And the fella came to see me. And he brought me a picture, and he said, this is a girl that I'm very interested in. And I looked at the picture, and I said, she's very pretty. And I walked over to a sink, and I burned that picture. I did. He said, what'd you do that for? I said, you have absolutely no business thinking about this woman or talking to this woman or establishing any kind of contact with this woman. And that's the real difficulty with social media today. The stuff is all posted on the internet, and you have a spat with your spouse, and then you go to the office and pull up social media and make a little flirtatious comment to this friend, and you get to see the pictures. Oh, man, you talk about destroying your relationship. Don't go there. That is not an appropriate communication. So establish some ground rules of communication, because evil communications corrupt good manners. You can be sure of it. All right, we're talking about restoring your marriage. What else do you do? Establish some appropriate boundaries for yourself and for your spouse. Appropriate boundaries. I'm not talking about walls where you keep each other out, but boundaries where you have controlling things that control emotions in the relationship. Turn to Proverbs chapter 27. All right, this also has to do with your tongue, and it also has to do with your actions. Proverbs chapter 27, look at verses 3 and 4. The Bible says a stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? Proverbs chapter 25, and look at verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down, watch it, and without walls. In broken relationships, the spouses tend to say very cruel things to each other, and they have a tendency to do very cruel things to each other. I mean, one spouse may point a finger at the other to blame him or her for something that might not be their fault at all. So one of the appropriate boundaries is to take the blame for the things about which you are truly at fault. However, listen, boundaries. Don't accept the blame for something that is not your fault. Oh, I'm telling you, in relationships, there are people just attempting to salvage the relationship who will take the blame for something that they did not do, hoping somehow that this is going to make for a peaceful relationship. It doesn't make for a peaceful relationship. It's wrong to accept the blame when you aren't wrong. You have to learn appropriate and fair ways to communicate with each other. You can't fly off the handle and become angry and use that anger to manipulate and control your spouse. If you're talking about a subject that's tense, only go as far as you can go in the conversation without getting mad. And then just tell your spouse, listen, I'm beginning to lose control of my spirit here. I'm beginning to go into that area where I'll be wrathful and I'll be cruel and I'll be angry and I'll be outrageous. We need to stop here. We'll carry on the conversation, but we need to stop now. If you need time and you need space to cool off, take it. And then listen, resume the conversation when you can handle the subject without flying off the handle. I'll tell you, you're gonna thank me for that piece of advice right there, because you're going to get started in a conversation and it's going to get tense, and you just say, you know what, honey, I really want to have this conversation with you, and we need to. I'm not ignoring you and I'm not putting you off. It's just, I'm beginning to have an emotional reaction to this and I'm starting to get mad. And I don't want to be mad. And I'll tell you what, sometimes it'll take you 5 minutes to cool off. Sometimes it'll take you a day to cool off. Don't forget you had the conversation. Don't forget where you were. Come back when you can handle it. Because you know what it'll do? It'll give you time to be honest again with yourself about why it is that you're getting upset and what you need to do about it, how you need to address it. You'll be amazed that if you don't start getting really angry with your spouse, how easy it is to continue the conversation and arrive at a solution. All right, here's another thing to do. Establish real and achievable expectations for yourself and for your spouse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we're told that when people marry, they can't just concern themselves now with how to please the Lord. They have to be concerned about their spouse as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 33 says, he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. And verse 34 says at the end, she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. So you do things to please each other, and that goes beyond pleasing yourself in your relationship with the Lord. How do you do that? How do you know how to please your wife? How do you know how to please your husband? I'll tell you how. It's a good idea to write down some expectations. Because what happens in dysfunctional relationships, people don't have a very good idea what's truly expected of them. And they're not sure the expectations that they perceive are even agreeable to them. In other words, they think this is what their husband wants, but they're not going to do that because they're not agreeable to it, but they're not even sure that's what he wants. So here's what you ought to do. Each spouse should write down what he or she expects of the other and what he or she is willing to do to meet those expectations, if in fact he or she agrees with them. Otherwise, you're going to end up despising your spouse because God didn't create the spouse who can live up to your fantasies and your expectations when they're unreasonable and built upon a Hollywood dream world. I'll tell you, chick flicks are a terrible thing. Because you get the idea that, that relationship, the way they're interacting with each other, somehow or another we should be able to do that at home. You're not going to do that at home. You're not the same people. As a matter of fact, the people you've seen on the screen are not the same people. They're actors and actresses, and they have terrible marriages in real life, most of them. So quit doing that to yourself. Sit down with your spouse and say, now look, let's write down some expectations. Here's what I expect of myself as a wife. Here's what I expect of you as a husband. He can write down, here's what I expect of myself as a husband. Here's what I expect from you. And then sit down, pair those things together, and see how you can accommodate the expectations of each other realistically and how you can take some things off the table that oughtn't to be there in the first place. Now, obviously, we're just a short way into this message, and we're going to have to continue talking about this. So let's do a little brief summary, and then we're going to pick this thing up again tomorrow. What we've been talking about is restoring your marriage when things have gone wrong, and you know it's falling apart, and you don't you want to do what the Bible says about keeping it together. You got to know how to do it. First of all, be honest about your contribution to what's gone wrong. Secondly, when you know this is something you've done that's wrong, sincerely apologize for what you've done wrong with the intention of being forgiven and being done with it. Establish some ground rules of communication where you speak honestly with each other, all right, and you don't go out speaking in social media and other avenues with people that are creating jealousy in your marriage. Have some appropriate boundaries for yourself and your spouse where you don't fly off the handle, but you find a way to have a conversation and keep it calm, and then establish some real achievable expectations for yourself and your spouse and go to work on making those happen. We'll continue this tomorrow, and may God bless you as you work to restore your marriage. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.